Hey, y'all, it's Bo Haig. Thank you so much for listening to this message today. If you have questions, please contact us at 580-216-6427. And we hope that God uses this message to change your life.
Well, today I want to ask you a question. I've got a little something right here. Anybody know what this is? That's a Walmart bag right there, right? Or a United bag. Let's give it up for United. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If you've ever ridden a horse that didn't know what this was, then you know and you realize that most horses, or a lot of horses, think this is like the boogeyman. Anybody been there? Raise your hand if you've been there. Yeah, you're at the parade, you're at the rodeo, you're fixing to go in the grand entry or something, you're on a trail ride, and one of these blows by your horse. This to a horse is the boogeyman. And you say, well, what does a horse typically do when they see one of these? They've never seen one before. There's two things. One of two things. They either try to kick the fool out of it, right? Or what do? They run, right? I mean, there's only two options. And I've been there in both situations where one of these bags, you know, flies through my horse's legs or around my horse, and they want to kick, you know, or they want to run. The same way is true, let's say, when you're introducing, if you've ever started a colt, if you're introducing them to a rope, right? If you've ever been around a horse that's never seen a rope, it's the boogeyman as well. Because here's the thing, you get that rope out and they start backing up. You get that rope around their hind end or get around a back leg, and what do they do? They kick, right? They want to fight. They want to get that rope off of them no matter what it takes. Or, and I've had horses that kick for like 45 minutes. I mean, they just kick. I mean, they just go around the round pen for 45 minutes trying to kick that rope off their leg. They do not like it. The other way that they, you know, the other way that they respond is they run. I mean, I've had horses, again, you put a rope around their hind end, you put it around their leg, and they will just run in circles, I mean, as long as they can until they almost want to just fall over, right? Why? Because here's the thing. There are two natural instincts that a horse has when attacked, or when the boogeyman shows up, a plastic bag. What do? They either fight or they run. They either fight or flight. Right? And that's a series that I started last week, and that's the series that we're going to continue this week. And here's the thing. Here's how I want to apply this spiritually. Okay? I believe that all of us are facing what I would call a spiritual boogeyman. Right? A spiritual attack, a spiritual threat, or a spiritual battle in our lives. And we only have one of two options. We can either fight or we can flight. Right? We can either fight in a way that we can win a victory, or we can run from the situation. And so again, in this series, I want to focus in on the mental, listen to this, the mental attacks that we face almost every day. How do we respond to the mental attacks that we face? Are we going to run from them, or are we going to fight and we're going to find victory over those attacks? Just in the last few weeks, I've had phone calls. I've seen, I've just phone call after phone call, and even just people meeting me that have told me about the mental battles that they face, the mental attacks that they face. I have a friend who just was playing a volleyball game, and he busted his kneecap. Actually, tore the muscle off his kneecap, and again had to have immediate surgery, and he's going to be in rehab for about a year. I asked him, "What is the hardest thing about, you know, what you went through on that attack? What's the hardest thing or on that injury?" You know what he said? It's here. It's right here. He says, "If I let this get me down because I can't do anything, then I'm dead. I'm dead in the water." I've had people, you know, call me, and again, they're facing issues with their parents not doing what they're supposed to be doing, or, you know, the older, elderly parents not wanting to eat right and not wanting to take care of themselves. And again, the mental strain that puts on someone's mind, right? When they face that, and their parents won't even change anything because they're stubborn like all the rest of us, right? And so, again, the mental attacks, even in the news, you've read about Robin Williams, one of the greatest comedians ever, committing suicide because of a mental attack on his mind. Well, here's the truth. We all face battles in our mind, right? I mean, they may not look the same. We may not all face the same ones, but we all face battles in our mind. I'll give you some examples. Insecurity. I mean, again, maybe women, and I know men deal with this as well, but women maybe deal with insecurity in their lives, right? What about depression, right? I mean, a lot of people are struggling with depression. You got worry. I mean, again, I changed. When I had kids, I changed. You know why? Because I care about them. Even with my wife, I changed as well. The fear that I never had before, I have fear now. The worry that I never had before, I have worry now. You know why? Because I got a wife and kids, right? And so again, those are mental attacks that the devil likes to throw on us. Anger, lust, jealousy, shame, guilt, or maybe even a loss of a relationship. Maybe you were married for 60 years and your husband or your wife just passed away and you're dealing with that mental attack and you feel that aloneness in your mind. Or maybe you just broke up with somebody. Maybe you were dating somebody. Listen, those are all mental attacks that the devil tries to put on us. And again, everyone doesn't face the same battle, but we all have at least one. And here's what we learned last week. Number one was this. Mental battles are real, right? And again, if you're like me, you think, well, you know, you guys just, at some point in my life, I would think, you know, you guys just need to suck it up, right? I mean, it's all in your head. Just get over it, you know? How many guys have ever wrongfully accused somebody and said that? Anybody? Yeah, just suck it up. Just get over it. It's all in your head. You can, yeah, I mean, just that's just a bunch of junk. I mean, don't think that way. I mean, it's not hard not to think that way. I mean, again, we just want them to buck up. We want them to get over it. But mental battles are real. You know why? Because the devil is real, right? And he wants to attack us. Number two is this. Mental battles are nothing new. They're nothing new. From the beginning of time, mental battles have been there. Again, the devil in the form of a serpent or a snake defeated Adam and Eve in the garden, not with a knife, not with a sword, not with a gun, but with a lie. He said, okay, God said you can eat that. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that you couldn't eat that tree. Go ahead and eat that fruit, right? And he defeated them with a lie. It was a mental attack. And again, from then on, again, we deal with those same mental attacks. Number three was this. We must fight. We must not run. You cannot run. Many people want to run to what? Alcohol, drugs, you know, sex, I mean, you know, money, all those things. They want to run to all those things. And the truth is, none of those things will help you overcome the attack that's on your mind. They won't. They may dull it for a few minutes, but they're not going to last. And so today, I want to answer two questions, okay? Two questions. Number one is this. How can we prepare for the mental attacks? How do we prepare for the mental attacks? And number two is this. How do we win the battles of our minds? How do we win the battles of our minds? And so again, number one is, again, the first question is, how can we prepare for the spiritual attacks of our minds? The first thing that I want you to realize is this. We must know how and when the devil likes to attack. I want to give you an example of this. How many of you guys have ever steer wrestling. Anybody taking part in the steer wrestling event? All right, one guy right up here. Listen, steer wrestling is a great sport. I like watching it, but it's kind of dumb. Why would anybody want to jump off a good horse, right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, a healthy horse, there they are. They're going to jump off that horse and try to wrestle this steer, right? I mean, again, sometimes it doesn't make sense, but here's the truth. If you're in the steer wrestling, listen, if you're in the steer wrestling, the most important thing that you can learn is what your steer is like. You ever thought about it? I talked to my buddy Dax Grunewald, and again, he is a state champion steer wrestler. He won state, and he told me a little bit about the steer wrestling. Again, I've never done it. I'm not man enough to jump off a good horse, and he is, and he was a state champion, and here's what he said. Again, the most important part of steer wrestling is knowing the steer that you're fixing to jump off and wrestle, right? And that's the most important part, because here's the truth. A steer, if it runs to the back of the pen as fast as it can go, you need to know that. If it's going to go out slow and real steady, then you need to know that as well. If it's a ducker or if it sets up, and again, when you begin to come off your horse and it just sets up and stops, you need to know that, right? Otherwise, you're going to flip and you're going to slip and you're going to fall. I mean, I've seen some really awesome wrecks in the steer wrestling. I mean, they've been awesome. I mean, you think that bull riding wrecks are bad. I mean, look at the steer wrestlers sometimes. I mean, again, the most important thing that they can know is the steer, right? I mean, again, if they're going to make a good run, they've got to know the steer that they're wrestling, right? And it's the same way, spiritually speaking, we should know the ways that the devil tries to get the best of us. If the devil's going to try to run you to the back of the pen, or if he's going to slowly try to tempt you in, or if he's going to make you do a flip because he sets up, listen, you need to know that. You need to know how and when the devil is going to attack you. And so again, we got to ask these questions. When am I attacked the most? Think about it. When are you attacked the most? Another question is, what time of the day am I attacked the most? Where am I when I'm attacked the most? What am I doing or not doing when I'm attacked the most? Again, I want to give you an example of this, and this is really powerful for me. It may not be for you, but it's powerful for me. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. And in this scripture, Moses shares with the people in Israel, he shares with them when they should be ready for the attacks of the devil. Look at it. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." Now you say, okay, but what's that scripture all about? Well, here's what I get out of this. Four times a day are mentioned when we should be ready for the attack of the devil. Look at it again. In verse 7, it says, "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home." Number one. Number two, "And when you walk along the road." That's number two. "And when you lie down and when you get up." You say, well, okay, but what's the point? I mean, again, I see that. But what is that saying? Well, here's my question for you. When does the devil attack you the most? The scripture tells us. The first one is when we're just sitting around doing nothing, right? When you're sitting around the house, you're doing nothing, the devil seems to want to creep in and start these mental attacks on you. Again, when you're doing nothing and you're letting your mind just be open. Here's number two. When you're driving in the car. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, you're driving in the car, you got a long drive, and the devil just begins to attack you. You can't turn the radio up loud enough because the devil is attacking your mind. Another one is when you're lying in bed. I mean, we've all been there. Maybe I've been there. You can't sleep, and the devil begins to attack your mind. And then the last one, when you wake up in the morning. When you're lying there in bed, and maybe you wake up at 2 a.m. and you're just being mentally attacked. These are some great places that the devil likes to attack. Anybody agree with that? Can I get somebody to raise your hand? Yeah. I mean, I think it's true. And again, the Bible says, and Moses says to his people, this is when you should be ready. This is when you should what? You should have the Word of God in your mind and in your heart. One of the greatest times that you can read the Word of God is in the morning and at night. It's just the truth. I mean, the Bible teaches us that we should meditate on God's Word in the morning and night. And again, I don't think it's happenstance. I don't think it's just there by accident. It's there so that we can be prepared for the attacks that the devil puts on us. I want to give you some other times that I believe the devil attacks us. And these are just practical ones for our day. Here's the first one. When we're on the internet. Anybody? Anybody get attacked when you're on the internet? Let me give you a few examples. Again, as men, many of us, all of us, I'll just say this, all of us are visual, right? All of us are visual. And guess what tends to happen when you get on the internet? The devil, he'll put a post by or a pop-up or something that says, "Hey, I'm single. Come follow me." Remember, anybody seen that? Am I the only one that gets those? Okay. Or you get an email that says, "Dearest one." Anybody get those? Dearest one, I would love to meet you. Again, you think it doesn't happen. Listen, it happens all the time. When you're on the internet, porn is one of the greatest struggles of our day. I've heard many statistics on how many men and women, it's a little bit less, but men struggle with porn. You say, well, why am I being attacked with these visual thoughts? Listen, maybe you need to get off the internet, right? I mean, if you don't want to have a mental attack there, you don't want to deal with lust in your mind, again, maybe you need to get rid of the internet. Here's the other thing, and this is what I did just to protect my mind. There is a website, and there's a church, and it's called XXXChurch.com. And again, have your wife there when you look that up in case it doesn't go to the right spot. You know what I'm saying? But have your wife there, and so have her look it up. How about that? Have her look it up. But here's what I did. I went to XXXChurch.com, and I got on there, and it's a filter that you can put on your computer or your phone. You can put it on your computer or your phone. And if I was to go to a questionable site, guess what it does? It emails three people that I've put their email addresses in there. You say, well, that's dumb. I mean, I can get over this porn, you know, addiction. I can get over this by myself. No, you can't. You need accountability. You need someone to step in. And if you go to that site or whatever, again, my wife gets one, and then I've got two other men that get those emails if I was to go to that. And again, that's just accountability. You say you want to get over this mental attack? Prove it by getting on that website and putting that filter on everything that you have so that you can stay pure. Here's another thing, another place that I believe we get attacked. When we watch something on TV, and again, maybe this is just a man thing, but when I watch something or listen to some sort of music, again, at least for men or even single men, I really want to say this to single men. If I'm watching something sexual on TV or listening to something that's talking about getting it on, then guess what? I'm more apt to sin in my mind. Does that make sense? Am I the only one that struggles with thoughts like that? Am I the only one? Any men? Any men in the house? Yeah. I mean, because seriously, let's just be real here. I mean, again, if I want to be pure, if I don't want my mind to be attacked, then I have to eliminate the things that are going to cause me to have those thoughts. It just makes sense. Listen, ladies, I want to give you this one. This one's for the ladies, and I try to relate to ladies even though I can't. Ever. And so I had to ask my wife and all this stuff. But ladies, if you will notice this, if you watch TV shows that have a lot of drama in them, you know what I'm saying? Drama, a lot of fighting, cat fighting, yelling back and forth. I mean, all that stuff, gossiping, you know, wanting to be a diva, wanting to be, a housewife from Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? Listen, ladies, if you watch certain shows that have backbiting, they have all kinds of gossip in them, guess what you're going to be tempted to do? You're going to be tempted to backbite. You're going to be tempted to gossip. You're going to be tempted to have drama in your life. Again, I read it on the internet all the time. I wish I could just have less drama in my life. There's just so much drama going on. Get off the internet. Can I get some clapping on that? I mean, I get sick of it. I get real sick of it pretty quick. But listen, here's the thing. If you want to not be mentally attacked, don't watch shows that are going to give you those thoughts. Does that make sense? Here's the other thing that I believe that pertains to mental attacks. And this one, again, I want to explain this one. It's laziness. Again, and I want to clarify this. If you're disabled, I'm not talking about you. If you can't go to work and work every day, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about people that can go to work but choose not to go to work, choose to sit around and be lazy. Listen, laziness is not a disability. Can I get an amen on that from the house? And the truth is, most lazy people struggle with mental attacks. You ever thought about it? And I'm not just picking on people. I'm just saying it. I mean, to most people that don't work, that don't, you know, choose to go and take care of their family, don't do that. Those are the most people that call me and say, man, I'm just really struggling. Here's the thing that I've learned in my life. When I'm lazy and I leave myself open for attacks happen. But when I work my butt off and I go to work every day, I'm too tired to be awake for the mental attacks to happen. Does that make sense? And again, you think that's harsh. It's not harsh. Look at Proverbs 26, 13, and 14. It says, the lazy person claims there's a lion in the road. Yes, I'm sure that there's a lion out there. Verse 14, as the door swings back and forth on its hinges, a lazy person turns over in his bed. Again, lazy, and I'm not just picking on lazy. We love lazy people, but we're going to ask you to change. You know what I'm saying? I mean, again, I'd rather hire a workaholic and tell him to take a vacation than to hire a lazy person and try to get him to work. That's just me. And again, we love lazy people, but we're going to ask you to change. One of the things that I tell people when they're being mentally attacked is serve somebody else. Get your butt out of bed and start serving somebody else, and then you won't even think about yourself. But they don't want to do that, some of them. Some of them do, and some of them get over it. Again, laziness breeds mental attacks. And so here's the last one. I believe that certain mental attacks happen when you're in certain relationships. You ever thought about it? I mean, again, maybe you're in a relationship, and you're in a dating relationship, and the person that you're dating is a negative jerk. I mean, it just wants to dog you all the time. That never says anything good about you. That never wants to compliment you. They just want to dog you all the time. Listen, if you're in a relationship that is like that, a dating relationship that is like that, here's my advice to you. Get out. Get out. You're setting yourself up for insecurity. You're setting yourself up for self-doubt. You're setting yourself up for suicide. You're setting yourself up for unworthiness. And listen, God has created you in His image, and He has created someone out there that wants to love you for who you are and wants to show you the love that God intended you to have. And so if you're in a dating relationship, I encourage you to get out. If he's negative, if she's negative, she dogs you all the time, get out of it. Listen, and here's what I would say to married people. If you're in a marriage where, again, one or the other is just a negative jerk that, you know, again, that just attacks you all the time verbally and is abusive maybe verbally. Listen, here's what I would encourage you to do. Get help. Get help. Again, the people that go down and get in the tubes and get into the pit of depression, the pit of divorce, the pit of all those things are the people that were too scared to ask for help. Listen, we are here to help you. If you're in that type of relationship, we have professional counselors that can, we'll pay the bill for you to be able to meet with a professional counselor that can show you ways on how you can make your marriage better. You know why? Because we don't want you to be in the pit of those mental attacks, those mental bondages. And so again, I encourage you, if you're in that type of relationship, get help. And so when do we need, or how do we know, and how do we prepare for the mental battles? Again, we've got to realize where the devil attacks us. We've got to be ready for that. Number two is this. We got to realize that the battle is spiritual. It's a spiritual battle. Look at Ephesians 6:12. It says this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You know what that's saying? Our battles aren't against me and you. Does that make sense? Our battles are a spiritual battle. And here's what I would say about mental attacks. Listen. The core of every battle is spiritual. The core of every battle that you face is spiritual. You know why? Because the devil is a spiritual being, right? And when he attacks, he's attacking you with a spiritual weapon that you can only fight back with a spiritual weapon. Does that make sense? And so you got to realize this battlefield, while it's in your mind, it is a spiritual battle. And one of the reasons why we lose the battles in our minds is because we fight with our flesh. And you say, Bo, what's that mean? What's it mean to fight with your flesh? Here's what I mean by that. We fight with our own strength. I fight, you know, battles of wrong thoughts in my own strength. I mean, I've heard people say, I'm just going to think happy thoughts and I'll just get over it. I'm just like, okay, you can think about butterflies and unicorns all you want, but that's not going to get you over the mental attack that the devil is putting on your mind. And so again, the fact is you cannot solve a spiritual problem with your flesh. You can't do it. Here's why. Because my thoughts aren't as strong as the devil's thoughts. They're not. But guess what? God's thoughts are. His thoughts are stronger. I mean, his word is stronger. And look at this in Mark chapter 14. Just like Jesus told his disciples in the garden, listen to what it says. It says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, when you try to fight the enemy with your flesh, you will lose. You will. And so the first question is, how do we prepare for the mental attacks that we face? Well, we got to know when and how the devil attacks us and be prepared. And we have to realize that this battle is spiritual. And this is what I'm going to end on. And we're going to finish this up next week. My wife may join me next week in sharing about this. But number two is this. The question number two is this. How can we win the battles of our minds? How can we win them? Well, I believe that answer is in James chapter 4, verse 7. Look at it with me. It says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You say, how do I win this battle in my minds? Number one is this. You have to submit to God. You have to submit to God. I'll give you another example of this. I've never seen anybody just walk into the chute with on their own two feet. Have you ever seen it? I mean, they walk into the chute. I've never seen this, but it would be funny to see this. I want to see one guy walk in the chute and the steer's ready to go and he nods and then he just runs after the steer. I mean, that would be funny, right? Here's what I think we do sometimes. And this is what I believe. The horse is the most important part, right? Because if you don't have a good horse that can chase after that steer, then you're never going to catch the steer. Here's the point that I want to make. God is that horse. You can try to run after these attacks and you can try to win these battles all you want. But if you're not submitted to God, if you can't trust God like you trust that horse to get you in that right position, you will not win the battles. You won't do it. You say, but what does it mean to submit to God? Here's what it means. It means that you give your life to him through his son, Jesus Christ. Let me read a scripture to you. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says this. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Here's the truth. You can, and I believe that there are more than one weapon to fight depression and all these mental attacks. I believe medication is good in certain instances. I've said this already. Medication is good. Counseling is good. And great community and relationships and friendships are good. But here's the truth. Medication without God is just going to sedate the issue. Counseling without God is just a human strategy trying to fight a spiritual battle. Right? If friendships without God are never enough to last. They're never enough to last. And so again, that's why we must submit to God. We must give our lives to Jesus Christ. You know why? Because a life with Jesus is a victorious life. It's a victorious life. Again, I want you to realize this. Just because I'm preaching about this and you think, well, all the mental attacks are going to go away. No, listen. The mental attacks are going to be there for the rest of your life. But if you will submit to God, you will find victory over them. You will. And here's the other thing that I long for when I have a mental attack. You know what I long for? Peace. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that Jesus, when he went to be in heaven, he went back to be in heaven, he sent us the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit could bring us peace. You know what the Holy Spirit is in the steer wrestling illustration? He's the hazer. You ever thought about it? I mean, one of the most important parts when you're running out of that chute and you see that guy that's going to do the steer wrestling, he comes out of the chute on the left. That hazer comes out on the chute on the right. That hazer keeps that steer in a position so that the guy that's steer wrestling can win, right? It's the same way with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the hazer that keeps the devil in line and cheers us on. Have you ever heard it? When they come out of the chute, who's yelling? The hazer. He's yelling. What is he yelling? Go, 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 go. You're good, you're good, you're good. Right? That's the same thing. When you submit your life to God, the Holy Spirit comes into your life and he will cheer you on. He will give you the strength that you need. He will guide you so that you can overcome the mental attacks that you face. It's one of the greatest gifts that we receive. And so today, again, you say, well, okay, Bo, how do I prepare? You got to know how and when the devil attacks, and you got to get ready, and you got to be prepared. Again, you say, well, I got to go to sleep, so how do I prepare for that? How do I overcome it when I'm trying to go to sleep? Come back next week. We're going to give you some weapons. We're going to give you some ammunition that never runs out. It never runs out, and you can find victory. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Here's the question that I have for you. Are you prepared for the battle? Are you prepared? Do you know when the devil attacks you and when he tries to kick your butt in your mind? Here's the next question. Are you aware, again, of when and how the devil wants to attack you? Here's the next question. Are you putting yourself in that position to be attacked? Think about it. Here's the next question. Are you fighting with your flesh? Are you fighting with the spiritual weapons that God has given you? And here's the last question. Are you submitted to God? Have you started a personal relationship with Him? Listen, if you have not started a relationship with God, you can start that today. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You say, what does that mean, Bo? Here's what it means in simple terms. If you will confess him as your Lord and Savior, maybe in your chair right now, in your heart, you just pray this inside your heart. Lord, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. I know that you came and you died for my sins, and I want you to come into my heart and save me. I believe that you rose from the dead and that you live in heaven, and I want you to be the Lord of my life. That's what it means to confess him as your Lord. Listen, if you will do that, Christ will come and he will forgive you of your sin. He will wipe away your past. And he will guide you into this life that you can have victory in. And so listen, maybe you just prayed that prayer for the first time and you've submitted to God and you've come to know Christ personally today. Listen, here we want to know about it so that we can come alongside of you and fight this battle with you. So here's all we ask you to do. Fill out an orange card, place it in a yellow bucket, and we will contact you about your decision. If you say, but I don't want to fill out a card, I don't have a pen, I don't even have one of those cards. Listen, all you have to do is text your name to the number that's on the screen as you leave today. If you can't find a card, just text your name to the number on the screen and we will contact you. Listen, God wants you to have victory over the mental attacks that you face every day. And you can have that if you will submit to God. Lord, we just come to you right now. And I thank you for how you expose the devil. You show us when he likes to attack us. And you show us how he likes to attack us. And so may we be bold enough and godly enough, and may we love you enough and love our families enough to prepare for the attacks so that we can find victory over the devil. Lord, I pray for those that maybe prayed for the first time to submit their lives to you today by accepting your Son, Jesus, into their heart. Lord, I thank you for them, and I pray that today they would begin to walk in a victorious life over these attacks, and that you will help our church to walk with them. Lord, I pray as we come back next week that you would just show us the weapons that you've given us so that we can fight this spiritual battle. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys for being here today.
Thank you again for listening to this message, and we hope to see you every Sunday at the Woodward Livestock Auction at 10:30.